Today, University of Washington researcher Anne McTiernan is trying to prevent cancer using physical activity and weight control. When she was 4 years old, Anne McTiernan wasn't eating. In fact, she was diagnosed with failure to thrive. Her new memoir is called Starved, A Nutrition Doctor's Journey from Empty to Full. McTiernan says her early experience in a boarding school was the beginning of her struggle with food and body image and self-worth.
You know, there was no family around. There were nuns to take care of us, but there weren't that many of them, and they weren't very motherly. I think children at that age, 4 and a half, after having children and grandchildren myself, I really can see you need family, you need mothering, you need good care in order to thrive. And I didn't have that for that year.
What was it? Can you give me a sense of what your daily life was like at that boarding school?
Well, it was like somebody would imagine from an orphanage where, you know, all these children, or in our case, it was all girls, were all lined up. And our beds were in a row in a large room, and we'd get up at regiment, like at 5:30 in the morning, and there'd be some prayers, and then we'd file down to breakfast, and I wouldn't eat, so it was not a good situation for me. And then the children would all then go up to their classrooms.
You mentioned that you weren't eating. What was going on with your eating?
Well, I think a child that age doesn't purposely stop eating. They don't think, well, I'm going to do this or not do this. I think I was just very unhappy. And I think a child really needs some encouragement often to eat or to eat well. They need somebody to nourish them, and I didn't have that.
I feel so sorry for that little girl, really. Why did your mother send you away?
She was a single mother. My parents were separated before I was born. And in those days, there wasn't much in the way of daycare. And she, for her own reasons, chose to send me away. And you would think that a child being sent to a boarding school would be from a rich family, but the Catholics kind of took care of their people and didn't charge families that much if they didn't have that much money. So that's how my mother was able to afford to send me there.
So you were sad, you were not eating. Eventually a doctor got you sent back home. What happened?
That's right. When he saw me, when I was about 9 months into this, he saw me, saw that my weight had gone down from the last visit, which isn't supposed to happen with children, and told my mother she had to take me out. So she did.
What was that return like?
It felt wonderful. Felt good to be home. Yeah. Because I was home with my mother and aunt, and I would have babysitters during the day, but at least I was with family.
At that age, you weren't resenting your mom for sending you away? Or if you were, it was still good to be home?
I didn't know. I don't think children that age really understand the issue of resentment. I didn't really understand why I was sent here or there. I think I had the feeling there was something wrong with me, that she didn't want me. But you know, I think that's too young to have a whole lot of cognitive processing going on.
And what happened to, the book is called Starved. What happened to your eating at that point, once you got back home to mom and Margie?
Then there was plenty of food around, and I kind of overate. So I became a chubby kid over, it took me a little while, but I ended up overeating and becoming quite heavy. And starting at age 7, I was home alone in the afternoon. So I overate, and food became kind of a comfort for me, and a comfort and a companion in the afternoons after school. And so I would eat, and you know, eventually became obese.
How did being obese affect your life?
It was hard because little kids, if they're different, if they stick out, then they can be a target. And I was really, you know, I was targeted by other kids. You know, I had some benefits. I was smart, which is a good thing in school. But you know, I wasn't one of the cool kids, and I stuck out by being a fat little kid. And, you know, I'm in the obesity research field now. We don't use the word fat to describe somebody that's overweight or obese.
That word seems to be coming back.
Yeah, but I think people like to own it. If that word's been used against them, they decide, well, they're going to own it. And so that's what I do in the book. I use the word because that's what was used against me. But as a researcher, I would never use that word to describe a patient.
You feel conflicted about writing that?
I did, but I described in the book in the beginning why I did that, because, you know, it's how I was described, how I felt about myself. I felt like I was a fat little kid, so I used the word. You know, so I felt like I was victimized, targeted because of this, but I didn't understand. I wasn't smart enough or didn't have the tools to understand that there was something I could do as a little kid, that I could change it, that I didn't have to be eating all the time.
So anybody can imagine getting you know, mistreated at school is hard. You also write about really wanting a boyfriend.
That's right. When I was growing up in the 60s in Boston, in the working class community, the holy grail for a young girl was to have a boyfriend. Then you'd be okay. Then you'd be a cool kid. And so I realized, you know, after reading, seeing what happened with my friends in school and reading teenage magazines, I saw the sort of things you had to do to get a boyfriend. But I wasn't understanding the depth of what you would need in order to have a relationship. I was just seeing the physical things, you know, lose weight, put on makeup, get pretty, that sort of thing. But it is something that helped me turn things around. The problem is I went a little bit in the wrong direction and became anorexic for a while. I starved myself again.
We're talking with Anne McTiernan, author of the book Starved, and you're a doctor. Physician, Fred Hutch, University of Washington, and a big part of your life and your work have been around body image, self-worth, right? What has your experience, your personal experience, taught you about that connection?
Well, I do a lot of studies where we're trying to get people to change their diet or to lose weight or to be physically active, and then we look at the effect on health by making those changes. And I'm really able to understand how difficult it is to make those changes. We always say that you are what you eat, but you also eat what you are. So that means what you come from, your family, your social class, your economics, your culture. And to change that eating pattern is extremely difficult. And especially for people who are overweight or obese who've been using food for comfort, it's really hard because we're asking people to make changes that reduce calories or reduce fat, and a lot of times comfort food is high in calories, high in fat, high in sugars, and it's a major change to reduce calories or to change your diet in that way.
Doctor, most people with eating issues don't go into the field, the nutrition field, professionally. What made you do that?
I think I came about it sort of roundabout. I was always interested in health. So I think that's how I started, but I feel like I was in training all my life to do something in diet. And the people that I talk to in the nutrition field, quite a few of them have some kind of issue, either themselves or their family. Some of the obesity researchers either have struggled themselves or they have somebody in their family who has, or they might have family with diabetes. Many of the nutritionists have had nutrition issues themselves or in their families. So people go into a field for a reason, and sometimes it is they are motivated by their background.
I know this is a big question, but what was the key for you personally when it came to changing your relationship with food?
Well, I think as a teenager, it was the goal of getting the boyfriend.
Yeah.
That helped me stop using food as a comfort, and I just went
the other direction.
I ate too little.
Mm-hmm.
But I didn't do it for too long. I was lucky. You know, I think of always had an issue with food. I'll want to turn to chocolate if things are going badly. But I really do have a strong interest in health and staying healthy. And I can see the adverse effects of either being overweight or obese or of not following a healthy lifestyle. So that kind of keeps me motivated.
And you told such a sad story to begin with about your 4-year-old self and being so sad in boarding school. I wonder what your early experiences through your childhood, what your experiences taught you?
Well, it taught me in one way how to be a mother, that I wanted to make sure my children had mothering.
Yeah.
And one of the first things I did was pick a husband that would be an excellent father. And we've been married over 40 years, so I made a good choice. And then to make sure that, you know, I never felt like I was a super mom or anything, but just to think about what children need along the way. And you know, I'm sure I made a lot of mistakes as I went along, but realizing children need mothering, they need loving, they need that attention. I think my background helped me realize what would happen if they didn't get that.
What is your relationship to food and eating like now?
I don't like cooking, but I'm just very happy with healthy food. My favorite food is vegetables. My second favorite food is chocolate. I have to limit that. But I think it has, you know, my research and my background has helped me realize that food is really there for nourishing. That's the primary purpose. But the added benefit is that there's enjoyment to it also. So you can have the enjoyment part without having a negative effect of malnourishment.
Dr. Ann McTiernan is a research professor now at the University of Washington Schools of Public Health and Medicine and a member of the Public Health Sciences Division at the Fred Hutchinson Cancer Research Center. And again, her memoir is called Starved, A Nutrition Doctor's Journey from Empty to Full.